Bone-chilling greetings, everybody. Those tunes, they're courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey. And I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Way back in the 30s, in the little town of Wilder, lived an old man and his lovely little daughter. They ran gambling for a living, it was the best place around. All the men would come and lay their money down.
Thanks for stopping by, making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your day, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from tiny village to large city and everything in between. It is absolutely appreciated. Where will this week's special city shoutouts take us today? Braganca, Paulista, Brazil. Ravenna, Italy. Whittier, Alaska. Grand Blanc, Michigan. Green Castle, Pennsylvania. And Gainesville, Florida. We now jump into part three of the historic Route 66 ghost towns. And just like California, as you listen to this episode, I am now in Arizona. So since I am here, I thought it would be the most appropriate to do Arizona ghost towns now. Now, before we start, though, I just want to kind of quickly talk about this trip I've been on. Now, first, while in California, I got to see some of my people, got to celebrate the life of a spectacular man, and now I'm in Arizona, and we just celebrated, just a few days ago, my grandpa's 100th birthday. And boy, I was so happy to be a part of that. 100 years on this earth is quite the achievement. So this episode is dedicated to my amazing 100-year-old grandfather. I also spent time in Tucson, got to do a day trip to Tombstone. I'll be going back in September for a couple weeks, but anything to get over there for at least a day is awesome in my book. Now I head to Cottonwood for a few days, and we'll also hit up Jerome, as that is another great place that I love to go and visit. Now, on to the ghost towns. Route 66 is 401 miles going through Arizona, the second highest state. Oklahoma beats Arizona with 432 miles. Many of those miles were unpaved. This changes in 1933, and by 1938, it's completely paved, making for a much smoother trip. My first Arizona Route 66 ghost town takes us to Apache County. Atamana was settled in the Arizona Territory in northeastern Arizona. Atamana was named after a gentleman named Adam Hanna, a sheep rancher. It was known as the gateway to the Painted Desert. It's also referred to as the gateway to the Petrified Forest. I actually did an episode, if you remember, back in June of last year, episode 220, titled The Petrifying Curse of Petrified Forest. In fact, if you look up Atamana, the address is Atamana Road, Petrified Forest National Park. And that was featured in that episode that I had just mentioned. So, spectacularly close. Now, in 1904, John Muir, a man that I've talked about before, who is the granddaddy, mind you, of national parks, and his children lived here and called this area home. The post office, well, it's established back in 1896, finally closing its doors down in 1969. This location was a well-known railroad stop. But once I-40 is constructed, many would leave Atamana. Today, it's considered one of the most desolate towns in Arizona off of Route 66. Only a handful of people live here now. It's said there are around three or four structures left here, and it's said they're all being lived in. Now, there's not much. Back then, though, it was a place to be. The hotel in town was once a very popular spot where locals, travelers, the rich and the wealthy, and the famous, they stayed here, including Teddy Roosevelt, and even the King of Spain stayed here at some point. Sadly, this location burned to the ground in 1965. Next stop is Belmont. It's about 10 miles west of Flagstaff, and in former Apache territory. Belmont is a very small, unincorporated village located in Coconino County. The Singua lived here for quite some time, but they had to relocate when the area was plagued with a horrible, much unwanted drought. Belmont is believed to be the highest settlement along historic Route 66. This town has the much-loved Richfield Service Station. Haven't seen it? Feel free to watch the 1969 movie Easy Rider, as it is featured in it. Also here is the Navajo Ordnance Depot, a camp that was built in 1942 and was definitely used during the Second World War. In 2019, tragedy strikes when actor and musician Isaac Cappy takes his own life right here in Belmont, Arizona. Witnesses see the man on the bridge and they do their absolute best, pleading with him that his life is worth saving. Please don't jump. It's not too late. But it was too late. Isaac is too quick for the people, for the Good Samaritans, and throws himself right off the bridge down to his death. Once his body hits the Interstate 40, a car passing by does hit him as well. He left a cryptic note on Instagram shortly before his suicide. Quote, "Beware the man that has nothing to lose, for he has nothing to protect," unquote. I also saw this video of him, and I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but he looked like he was not well. He was looking at the camera, and just the look of his face was so heartbreaking. You could tell this man was defeated. And he was saying, quote, "The struggle of darkness consumed me. It consumed me. Yeah, I'm a bad guy." And then in that same video, he says, "I'm not suicidal. Do you want to help me? Pray for my soul." Very heartbreaking. He was a member in the band Monster Paws, and he'd been in TV shows like an episode in Breaking Bad, and movies like Clown Camp Massacre, Terminator Salvation, and Thor. Very sad end for this 42-year-old man's life. As of 2020, it is said that there are 501 people who call this neat town home. We are still in Coconino County and now are in Canyon Diablo, founded in 1882 and lasting until 1903. This was before Route 66 really even existed. Canyon Diablo is about 1 mile from the historic route. This town is notorious for its Hell Street, where the Riley Old West was a regular thing. In Tombstone Epitaph's own words, this town was described as being, quote, "the toughest hellhole in the West," unquote. That says a lot coming from Tombstone, whose motto is, "the town too tough to die." Considered one of the deadliest towns located in the Old West, and as the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad arrives in 1881, so does trouble. Brothels, saloons, gambling dens. Not much law was enforced here at the time, and the bad guys pretty much had free rein. Wiki shares some good advice for those planning on visiting Canyon Diablo. Quote, "Access to Canyon Diablo on north is a very poor road. From exit 230, the two guns off Interstate 40, a high ground clearance vehicle is recommended," unquote. So for those who are wanting to go to Canyon Diablo, that is really an important tip. Be sure to have a four-wheel drive and not something low to the ground, for sure. On April 8th of 1905, a shootout takes place between lawmen and outlaws. You see, John Shaw and William Evans had robbed Wigwam Saloon in Winslow a day earlier, and they were hiding from the authorities. Well, two officers involved in the search for the bandits run right into Shaw and Evans in the toughest hellhole in the West, a.k.a. Canyon Diablo. Gunfire? Well, it erupts. 3 seconds later, Evans is badly injured and apprehended, and Shaw? Well, he's killed. William Evans, after recovering from his wounds, is sent to Yuma Territorial Prison, another location I did an episode on in the past, and he would serve 9 years in Yuma. Fast forward some time later, a group of men, I would say 20, they decide they want to exhume the body of Shaw. And this was probably after a night of drinking, right? They had heard that the two outlaws had went to the saloon and ordered a shot of whiskey, but never got to drink the shots that fateful night. The men thought it was very appropriate to give this dead man that drink that he ordered so long ago, and then some. They head to Canyon Diablo, they exhume the body, open the coffin, they pull Shaw's body out and prop him up against a fence that surrounds a neighboring grave. They take photos with him and cannot help but notice that he is smiling. So I did see this picture, and while my boyfriend said he doesn't see it, I absolutely see it. That dead man has a smile on his face, which is pretty crazy considering he died in a shootout. It's not like he's, like, you know, died in his sleep or something. So they give the dead man some whiskey. They say a prayer or two, put the outlaw back in his coffin, along with the bottle of whiskey they had brought, and they rebury him. It's like something that you would see in a movie. Wild. Next up is chloride. Founded in 1862, and it's just a stone's throw away from Santa Claus, Arizona. Once a booming mining town, it was home to over 5,000 people and around 75 mines. Chloride is Arizona's oldest continually inhabited mining town. For over 60 years, local miners had excavated not only silver, but also the likes of gold and turquoise as well. This went on until one horrible day when almost the entire town is burned to the ground. Due to the destruction of the fire, the town was pretty much abandoned and goes into ghost town status by the 1940s. Before the inferno marked its territory, chloride had a market, a post office, a handful of sweet little shops, a couple of restaurants, a nice park, and a cemetery. The cemetery is located right out of town and is actually one of Arizona's oldest cemeteries. One thing that chloride is known for is the impressive collection of what is known or referred to lovingly as junk art. They're neat, they're funky, and they're rather unique. I quote Atlas Obscura, quote, "The bizarre junk art of chloride can easily be seen along the roadside of the non-historic part of the town. Drivers can admire a flamingo made of a gas tank, a tin man with a blue hat, and a junk tree with rusty items hanging from the branches. The graves in the town cemetery are even topped with old telephones. In fact, 20 of the currently inhabited residents of chloride, each of them, features some display of junk art. One house, for example, features an elaborate bottle tree. Another displays a metallic spider next to a caterpillar made out of bowling balls." Unquote. After the fire, it was obviously rough, but life is brought back to this location, and now, just like Tombstone and Calico and so many other Old West towns, they now offer reenactments and more. I love these types of shows. They are a lot of fun to watch, for sure. And again, I quote Atlas Obscura as they share some good advice for those coming to chloride. And when I come upon good advice during these towns, I want to share just in case, you know, you guys are road trippers or just, you know, wanting to jump on the road and check some place out. So here we go. Quote, "Harder to reach yet equally worth the visit are the murals of chloride. A 1.3-mile four-wheel drive-only road past abandoned mines and ancient Native American petroglyphs will take you up the hill to the murals of Roy Purcell, who, in 1966, was a local prospector with some extra time on his hands. Not yet showing the signs of weathering, Purcell's The Journey covers 2,000 square feet of cliffside granite, and it's dense in symbolism, featuring a yin-yang, a giant red snake panning multiple rocks, and a fertility goddess." Unquote. we now find ourselves right outside of Oatman. The town of Goldrod is settled in 1901. Well over 40 years before it became Goldrod, gold is discovered here, sometime in the 1860s. Silver was being discovered throughout Arizona territory, including Ed Shefflin's discovery in Tombstone. And the silver had the miners running, forgetting about the gold, surprisingly, and Goldrod was somewhat forgotten. And to me, that's really interesting. Well, in 1899, a prospector named Jose Jerez arrives, and he locates the gold mine. And in 1901, the same year the town settled, he sells his claim for a whopping $50,000. Today, in 2024, that's around $1,989,269. Geez a loo. Some may think that's a lot, and it is, but it would have been better for him financially if he just held on to that claim. In about 25 years, it would produce over $7 million in gold. Jerez would eventually commit suicide by ingesting rat poison. The town is located in Mojave County and really only thrives and survives for about 45 years or so, not very long at all. But you better believe that when it was up and running, it was sure a booming mining town. The town was practically built by local mine owners. The post office, it opens in 1902 and closes down in 1925. They shut down for about 12 years. They opened back up in 1937, but they closed their doors for good just a few short years later in 1942. Once home to 400 plus people, all that really remains here now are a handful of buildings and the town cemetery. Still in Mojave County, enter Hackberry, located northwest of Kingman. Founded in 1874, it was a successful mining town. Rich silver deposits were discovered, and Hackberry, the silver mine, well, it's born. Both the mine and town are actually named after a hackberry tree that was living nearby. According to legendsofamerica.com, Hackberry is, quote, the oldest town along this old stretch of road, unquote. Home back then to the old Wild West life, which included shootouts, gambling, and faro. I guess the last two kind of do go together, don't they? In 1917, a large elementary school is constructed, an old mission-style building, ever so gorgeous, and it still stands to this very day. Now, looking at it, you wouldn't think that this was a school for children. You may possibly be mistaken, thinking, oh wow, that's a palace, because looking at it, it indeed looks like some sort of palace. But no, it was an actual school. In 1919, Hackberry is on the road to ghost town status. In 1926, life is breathed back into her when Route 66 is constructed. But once I-40 shows up to the party, the town is once again in big trouble. In 1992, a gentleman named Bob Waldmeyer, he opens the Hackberry General Store, a location that had long since been closed. A few years later, in 1998, Bob sells the general store to a lovely couple, the Pritchards, and it remains open today and is a welcome sight to travelers and road trippers. So be sure to go check out that general store if you're in the area. Today you can go and visit Hackberry and see the original buildings and sweet antiques such as old gas pumps, classic cars, and more. Today, around 200 people call Hackberry home. And last but not least on my list of Route 66 Arizona ghost towns is Oatman. In 1863, gold is discovered in the nearby Black Mountains. Overlooking the Mojave Desert, Oatman is home to the historic Oatman Hotel, where Clark Gable and Carol Lombard spent their honeymoon. This hotel has long since been believed to be haunted. They have a ghostly resident they named Odie. Another spirit who haunts this establishment, a woman named Olive. She had sadly fallen victim while traveling with her family through the area when she is brutally attacked. Room 3 is believed to be where she spends her time. Guests and staff alike have experienced cold spots, flickering lights, and feeling that you are just not alone and that you are being watched. If you ever come here, I hear that the buffalo burger and fries are to die for, and definitely recommended. Sign me up. As you enter this sweet town, there's a sign, and it reads this, quote, Oatman, Arizona, elevation 2,700 feet. Oatman was founded about 1908. By 1931, the area's mines had produced over 1.8 million ounces of gold. By the mid-1930s, the boom was over, and in 1942, the last remaining mines were closed at non-essential to the war effort. Burros first came to Oatman with early day prospectors. The animals were also used in the mines for hauling rock and ore. Outside the mines, the burros were used for hauling water and supplies. As the mines closed and people moved away, the burros were released into the surrounding hills. The burros you meet today in Oatman, while descendants of domestic work animals, are themselves wild. They will bite and kick. Keep a safe distance from them. Wild burros are protected by federal law from capture, injury, or harassment. Help protect this living symbol of the Old West. Unquote. I love this. It reminds me a lot of Cripple Creek, Colorado. They have descendants from the mining mules out there. They remain in the Sweet Mountain mining community to this very day. And it's always kind of like, you know, you're not really guaranteed to see them. Well, you just have to follow the poop, the fresh poop. There isn't a time that I have not gone to Cripple Creek and have not been able to see those sweet, beautiful, hee-hawing mules. You just have to kind of look for them sometimes. And I'm sure that's the same in Oatman. Travelinusa.us gives some good advice for those wanting to travel to Oatman. Quote, both friendly and rude, these donkeys are the main attraction of Oatman. Or rather, judging by the nonchalance with which they walk around town. It almost seems that they are undisputed masters of the town, especially when they blithely ignore the rare cars that pass by, creating brief and unexpected traffic. And if you honk your horn, you may just be reprimanded by the inhabitants. After all, these donkeys are protected by the U.S. Department of the Interior. Unquote. It is said that over 100 people continue to live here. Today, I discuss several phenomenal Route 66 ghost towns in Arizona. Adamana, Belmont, Canyon Diablo, Chloride, Goldrod, Hackberry, and Oatman. Have you visited any of these phenomenal towns in Arizona? I'd love to hear about it. Please email me at paraprowl@gmail.com. Or you can find me on my Paranormal Prowlers podcast Facebook page. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single one yet? Hit up any of those awesome podcast platforms, such as Downcast, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts. You'll surely find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and
I will see you next week.